Pop Spotting 105,
Friday, August 19th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday.
So let's check the Pop Spotting voicemail.
Hey, Ryan and Jen. This is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, with kind of some thoughts on Captain America. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the World War II aspects of it. And I'm not a huge follower of the Captain America or the Avengers comics. I grew up doing more of the X-Men side and now more DC side of things, but I think they did a good job of bringing in characters that they had to bring in that are part of the lore of Captain America, and I thought they were pretty true with those, especially Bucky, with Bucky dying and that being a motivation for Captain America. I think he did a good job, Chris Evans did a good job of portraying the frustration that he felt of transition, you know, being this PR guy and having no respect of the soldiers and trying to gain that. I think that was a neat aspect to the storyline. And I think, you know, yeah, you have that whole sci-fi aspect of it, and I think they had to bring that in because, unfortunately, that's part of and partial of the universe. I mean, that's how that universe has to be, and it's tying things in. You know, that artifact is that was powering all those things was a Norse thing, tie back to Thor. But I really thought that something that you might find interesting is the whole dynamic between Captain America and Iron Man has been a huge ongoing thing with the Avengers for years. Their kind of clash of mentalities. It's, you know, it's the Marvel equivalent of Superman, Batman. You know, two different philosophies fighting for kind of a common goal, but kind of going at each other's heads, you know, in the same process. And so that, you know, this is kind of setting up that kind of dynamic between the two of them. So it should be interesting to see the Avengers and see how they work that out. But overall, I enjoyed it. I thought they did a good job. It had some cheese factor at points, but I thought it was a good job. So just wanted to pass those thoughts along. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Always good to hear from you. And I thought he was really nice to kind of give us a backgrounder on the DC versus Marvel universes and how we can see the difference in approaches between Iron Man and Captain America is the same way you see a conflict between Superman and Batman. And basically making clear that we might have enjoyed Captain America more if we understood more about this universe.
David writes on the blog, I read lots of comic books growing up, but mostly in the DC universe rather than Marvel. As such, I didn't know the full backstory of Captain America, but was drawn to the movie by its highly effective marketing campaign. And by my disappointment in the rest of the summer superhero films, I'm talking about you, especially Green Lantern. After seeing it, I went to the web to learn more about the history of Captain America, and there I picked up all sorts of useful information about the various characters in the film. This profoundly enriched both my understanding of the movie and my appreciation for it.
And certainly David pointed out that, you know, more research could help. There's only so much Wikipedia that we can shove into our brains, but having a better understanding would certainly make for a better podcast, and KGDC does write on the blog, I have to say, your criticism of Dum Dum Dugan was probably the reason why I stopped listening to the podcast after that segment. As you said, you don't know the comics, so you don't have a clue as to his importance to Cap and the nostalgic feeling that I, as a fan and reader, felt when he first appeared. The group was the Howling Commandos, and that black guy, that Derek Duke, is the younger version of Nick Fury. In the comics, Nick Fury led the Howling Commandos during World War II. They took the Infinity Formula, and that's why they haven't aged more than 20 years in the last 60. Again, not your fault. You didn't really get it, no problem. You just kind of walked in without any of the fandom, just the interest.
Well, I think we're looking at it is more of just purely as a movie, because I really enjoy movies and looking at it structurally as a movie to me was the way we approached it.
Well, certainly, and there are things that we might appreciate that other people don't fully understand, and the weird thing is, I think in the end we did say we enjoyed the film, we gave it a 7 out of 10 score, but consider us properly chastened, you know, we might have enjoyed enjoyed it even more if we knew a little bit more. But let's go from something we got a little wrong to something we got a little right. It's back to the pop spotting voicemail.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. This is Maggie from Northern Virginia. I've got some feedback about Friday Night Lights because it is like one of my most favorite shows. Sometimes I wonder if it'd even be sloshed just a tiny, tiny little bit. I love that you guys talked about it. I'm a huge fan of Friday Night Lights, and I have been since almost the beginning. I recorded the first few episodes when they aired first on NBC, but I couldn't quite get into it because it was of the documentary style and at first. And so I gave up on it, but then I kept hearing about it. I'm like, well, okay, let me give the show another try. And I kind of marathoned a few episodes. And I think that really helps get you into Dylan, makes you kind of feel like you are there, because that is something the show does very, very well. You feel like you are in Dylan. You know these people. You are right there, like, in their faces kind of thing, but you feel like you know them. And so definitely the marathoning helps, which now that it's over, I don't like that it's over, it's easier. Jen, you were saying something about having a bad guy to kind of all root to be against. And I do kind of feel like maybe it could have used that, but there's not always a bad guy, unfortunately. And I really love how it ended. It was a really great ending. As much as I would like to see a movie, because I love these characters and I would love to see them again, I think they're all in a really good place. And I'm not sure what a movie could do. Maybe there's going to be something great. But I do love these characters, but I'm not sure if a movie would be great. So, would be good. So, if you have not seen Friday Night Lights, really need to try that first season. You will never be more nervous for a football game than in that final episode of season one. And because I used to go to football games and in high school, and I was never that into it as I was of that first season of Friday Night Lights. And the rest of the seasons with those football games. So, I really think other people should check it out. And thanks for talking about it. And I will talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
I am excited about the prospect of just seeing this show on the big screen, but she does have a point in that this show really wrapped itself up in a very nice and meaningful and lovely way, and to make a movie would kind of mess that up a little bit.
I agree. You know, of the series finales that we've seen in recent years, Friday Night Lights is one that at least was not as, you know, hated as some of the other shows that we've tracked all of this time. So it is kind of worrisome that they might ruin a good thing. But again, I just kind of want to see more of them. And I do agree that it's perhaps great that you can now marathon through the show. In fact, we just saw Friday Night Lights a couple of the seasons at Walmart for less than $15. So mm-hmm. That's a deal. You should get in if you haven't yet. Continuing the Friday Night Lights love on Facebook was Cheryl in LA.
She writes, "My mother was fanatically crazy about the show from the beginning and convinced both my eldest daughter and myself to get on board, which we were extremely pleased we did. My mother and my daughter both had a crush on Riggins, and I also enjoyed his gorgeous face, his chemistry with Lila, and particularly the fact that his native home is my backyard of Abbotsford, British Columbia. My first feeling was that the show was pretty depressing, but I learned to adjust to some of the harshness or even despair because of the way the writing was always balanced with character courage and a collective upbeat heart."
Yeah, I like that. She, in fact, notes that there was a lot of sad realism in the show, and I think that's one thing that people do say when they try Friday Night Lights is that it's pretty subdued or dark even, but the character courage, that upbeat heart, that really comes through. She also mentioned a heartbreaking scene where Matt was in the shower. I think that was at the end of season two, where he was pretty much broken down and felt that everyone was leaving him.
Right.
But some really fantastic dramatic moments in Friday Night Lights. And still on that show, we hear from Florida and Michelle on Facebook.
She writes, "I'm a big fan from your Lost podcast and even got directions on how to find the set way back in 2007 from you guys. I was looking forward to this podcast and finally remembered to see if you guys had new episodes and was shocked to see how far behind I am. I had to listen to your FNL podcast first and you guys hit the nail on the head. This was such a great show. It was a shame that it didn't connect with people as it should, but a movie based on all the characters I came to know and love, especially Tim Riggins, would be amazing."
Yeah, well, more love for Riggins there. And, you know, I think we're conflicted, but still really looking forward to the possibility of a movie. And it's great to have Michelle finally over from the transmission. It's fascinating that, you know, this far out that people are still discovering us. If you know any transmission listeners, be sure to point them our way here on Pop Spotting. But thanks to Michelle, Cheryl, and of course, Maggie for really really affirming our love of Friday Night Lights. In fact, the conversation spread onto Twitter. Beth in Pittsburgh writes, really enjoyed listening to you discuss Friday Night Lights, one of my favorite primetime shows ever, in the latest podcast.
Steph writes, thank you, Pop Spotting, for talking about Friday Night Lights. I'm not ready to give it up.
Winnie says, listening to the review of Friday Night Lights makes me want to rewatch the show. And Steph of the Full-Time Mom podcast replied that I listened to it yesterday. Great review. And I, too, want to rewatch the show. And again, you can interact with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. The next thing we wanted to kind of cover briefly is a little of self, I guess, interest. But we want to kind of recognize our love for the Inside Breaking Bad podcast put together by the great Kelly Dixon. Now, early on in Pop Spotting's history, and at the end of the transmission's history, in fact, we did allude to the fact there was a little connection between that official show podcast and our podcast, and she went out of her way for their podcast for episode 404 of Breaking Bad to actually send a shout out to us. So that really touched our hearts, as well as to, of course, Bill, who does Behind the Cutting Edge. And they actually did an interview with the star of Breaking Bad,
Bryan Cranston,
which is fantastic. But in any case, we do have to acknowledge and say thanks to Kelly Dixon and Breaking Bad, the Inside Breaking Bad podcast. She is doing a fantastic job.
Yes, at
what is a fantastic fourth season of Breaking Bad. Now, moving on to other TV, it's Pete on Facebook.
He writes, thanks for posting the audio from the Walking Dead panel at Comic-Con. I didn't see the first season because it didn't appeal to me, but after listening to the panel, I snatched up the last copy on DVD at the local Borders. Brains.
Hey, nice dramatic reading there. Yeah, Pete, you know, it's fantastic that you got that from the panel. You know, Jen and I think have said that at Comic-Con, sometimes to get to the panel you want, you sit through two or three others you weren't interested in, but by accident you might pick up on a show that you really want to get into.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. But Pete, you know, I would imagine that you and many of our listeners are following a lot of the drama kind of behind the scenes for Walking Dead. Now, just 3 days after we saw Frank Darabont, the showrunner of Walking Dead, on the stage at Comic-Con, he was let go. He was fired by AMC, and that has kind of sent shockwaves, not just throughout Hollywood, but of course through fans of the show. If you want to get kind of the background with all of the aftermath that's happening, you should check out a long report that was posted at Hollywood Reporter by Kim Masters, and there was a follow-up by Quint, Eric Vespi at Ain't It Cool News, and he actually went as far as calling for a regime change at AMC because of its handling of not just Walking Dead, but of course Mad Men and Breaking Bad, you know, basically a network that's struggling with its success.
The Sons of Anarchy creator Kurt Sutter also chimed in on Twitter this week about how he felt that AMC was handling the whole thing.
Yeah, so it's getting a little messy. In fact, the execs went down to the set of Walking Dead to try to settle it, but I'm really not sure how it's going to turn out. And we've already had delayed seasons of both Breaking Bad and Mad Men, so heaven knows, you know, I'm really starting to get worried about this next season of The Walking Dead. But let's jump from the gossip pages back to our TiVo Now playing list with a recommendation from Dave in Arizona.
He writes, I wanted to give a recommendation to a UK show called The Misfits. It is a show about these five young adults working in community service who get superpowers due to a freak storm. They go the complete opposite direction of, say, Heroes or No Ordinary Family. These five have no interest in being superheroes and just want to deal with the consequences of getting these powers. The show is not for children. It is very much in the vein of Dexter and Weeds.
You know, Dave, you didn't have to say much more than Dexter and Weeds and superheroes, you know, reluctant superheroes. It sounds like a winner. And in fact, great minds think alike, because we also got a separate email from Amber, who writes, I'm a longtime Lost podcast listener and new listener to Pop Spotting. I'm excited you guys are keeping at podcasting. I just wanted to suggest the British TV show Misfits. It's about these young delinquents who have to do community service and end up getting struck by lightning. They develop superpowers as a result. The first season is now available online for free on Hulu at hulu.com/misfits, and it's only 6 episodes. I would love to hear your thoughts on the show.
You had me at Dexter and Weeds, like, yeah, Ryan said. I'm really, really interested in this show.
And the fact that it's on Hulu, that you can get all of the 6 episodes for that short first season, I think you might, in fact, get to hear us talk a little bit about Misfits. So thanks to Amber and Dave. And finally, we turn to a new social network for some feedback. It's a connection made on Google+. We heard there from Paul Fox.
He writes, I have to say, I feel a little bit of internet kinship to you both. Ryan, in part for his geek tech cred, but especially to Jen, because, like like her, I'm originally from Florida, and I moved to Hong Kong to reboot my life. Speaking of Florida, I remember that back in episode 59, you both covered your thoughts on the new Hawaii Five-0. Some of your local perspectives on the show were very reminiscent of my own on a Florida-based show called The Glades. It's a standard police procedure show with light comedy in the same vein as Monk, and it is now in its second season. It's fun but formulaic, and I keep with it because I have grown to like the characters, but mostly attractive to me because of the setting, even though they tend to do some strange things with it. If you haven't already seen it, you might want to give it a try. It runs a short season of 13 episodes, so it's fairly easy to stick with.
So have you, from Florida, heard of The Glades?
I've heard of it. I watched the first 48 on A&E, they run the promos for it during
that. But you've not actually watched an episode?
No, I haven't.
Well, you know, I gotta say, I mean, I'm kind of curious. He mentions Monk. We enjoyed that series when it ran, and it does star Australian actor Matt Passmore, but the hook, or the anti-hook, depending on your perspective, would be one of his co-stars, Kiele Sanchez, who you may know as Nikki from Lost.
Razzle dazzle.
Razzle dazzle. So, you know, I just want to check it out to see maybe if she's just as ridiculous as she was on Lost. But there might be something to that show. In fact, it's a great success for the network. It gets 2.2 million viewers. It's one of their top programs. It tops the Sunday night block. So The Glades might also be worth a look. Thanks to Paul for that recommendation. Now, if you're watching The Glades, if you love Misfits, if you've got a TV show that we still haven't talked about, we want to hear from you. We are still catching up on our feedback from since Comic-Con. I mean, Jen is really toiling through it. She wants to make sure you hear back from us. She's doing her best. If you're still not sure, you can write again, but basically we have to say that your feedback is immensely valuable to us. It is really the motivation to continue this podcast. So if you enjoy listening to us, we'd definitely like to hear from you. Whatever recommendations, whatever corrections, whatever suggestions you want to make, please get in touch.
You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808.
And we've also been encouraging you to post on the Pop Spotting page at Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting, because that's where other listeners can see your comment and help start a conversation.
You can start any kind of topic you want there, or you can also post a comment on a specific episode on our blog at popspotting.net.
And you can also connect with us on Twitter. We're at twitter.com/popspotting, or our personal accounts there are Hawaii and Mrs. Hawaii, and you know, we probably spend way more time on Twitter than we really should.
We'll be back soon with more pop talk. For now, we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our great theme song.
And we want to say thank you to you, our super sexy smart listeners here at Pop Spotting. We appreciate you listening to our show. For Pop Spotting, I am Ryan.
And I'm Jen. Aloha.